Father, as we've been singing, stronger and more powerful are the words that you have spoken. Jesus, you're the one that sustains all things with your powerful word. And you have spoken in the last days, the mountain of God will be chief amongst all mountains. And we know that your kingdom is the kingdom that's everlasting. We know that your kingdom is a kingdom that is growing and expanding all the time. And we want to thank you for us as your children being involved in this incredible kingdom of light of yours, to be able to live in the reality anointed by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, yielded to the Holy Spirit, so that we can see the incredible advancement of your kingdom, setting captives free, touching lives. And we want to thank you for that. So we want to thank you as we could sing this morning, greater are you that's in us. We as your body, Christ within us. What an incredible statement that is. And we ask, help us to believe that. Help us to live in that truth. Help us to be established in that incredible truth. And we want to thank you for that today. So Father, thank you. You are our Father. We are your children. We belong to you. The blood of Christ has purchased us. And we say, Lord Jesus, come and minister to us. Have your way. Do what you want to do amongst us. You know exactly where we are. You know exactly what is needed. You know exactly what the Father wants to share with us. So we thank you as you share with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this we receive today and give you the praise and glory that you are changing us. We are being transformed into your likeness day after day for the glory of our Father through you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Got people busy moving goods here, and these dogs are quite noisy. Yeah. Now we've come to. Hello, Yanni. Welcome. What's it like being married? Ask the older married people, what's it like to be married? Why is there such a silence all the moment? It's great. Super. Yeah. We're in a place right now where things aren't the same anymore. As we've been reflecting back in this past year, as we've been saying, we're no longer the same people. We've all changed. We've all grown. It's very clear to be able to see the reality of Christ's life within us, and it's just getting more and more. And so, what's next year going to be like? It's going to be powerful. And I haven't listened to any prophetic words for 2024. I made a decision just to hear what God is saying and not what everybody else is saying. So I've kept quiet. I've just heard one, it was an interview from a lady in the Netherlands, because your Dutch Reformed Church is rooted from Netherlands, and she was just speaking about what's happening there, and because it gives a bit of insight to the Dutch Reformed Church here as well, what they're praying for wherever the Dutch Reformed Churches are. But I haven't really listened, I haven't watched anything, and that for me is important, because we need to hear what God is saying to us and to respond, and then we will get confirmation as we go on. I think there's so much that God wants to share, but I think I'll start off by, we've been looking at Galatians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we've been reading that this grace of God, that through Jesus Christ, this grace and truth that we have received. And because we have received this grace, our lives, the totality of our lives, has been enriched in every single way. That's big as a born-again child of God. Because we've got to remember that when God created man and woman in his own image. And he breathed his life, his spirit, into mankind. And so the first man, Adam and Eve, they reflected something about this incredible image of God. And obviously sin came, and that really did something profound, because the Holy Spirit left Adam and Eve, and now their spirit had died. So the reality of that image, we don't really understand. There's a lot of theological discussion and research trying to understand what this image of God is all about. But something about this image of God that Adam and Eve were created, that nobody else had, was this relationship that they alone could have with God and God with man. You see, it was something profound, and Satan hated this. See, we've got to understand that Satan hates mankind because we are created in the image of God. Nobody else has been created in the image of God. It's us as human beings. And so we notice over there that everything, there was a temptation in the fall. And from that moment, you can see the works of Satan. Satan comes to steal, rob, and to destroy. And Jesus came to give abundant life. So we notice as we look at the world, as we look at life, we can see that, everything, the plan of the enemy is to really corrupt and destroy what the real image of God is in mankind. And that's why whatever he uses, he will trap mankind, and we will find there that we are revealing a really distorted image of God in mankind, because now sin is powerful, sin is ruling, sin is reigning in mankind. And so when we look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, and we see there that Paul writes about the manifestation, the image of man is reflected through that sinful nature. And we see all the deeds, the actions of the image of this distorted image of God in mankind. But then those that are born again, we see a different revelation of the nature of God through the body of Christ. And that's why, as we've been focusing on the birth of Jesus, reflecting on Christ coming down, taking form of a human, because the image needed to be restored. You see, Satan had come and he was working. God said in Genesis 5, when he speaks about mankind, and he says that mankind has been made in the image of God. And then after the flood in Genesis chapter 9, he says there, do not kill, because man is made in the image of God. What was the first real act after Adam and Eve sinned? Brother killed brother. Can you see? Because Satan is out to destroy the image of God in mankind. So Jesus comes, praise God for this gospel, this good news, in the form of a man. Jesus is the image of God. Jesus comes, and he now lives, and he makes known, he reveals the real image of God in the human form. So he destroys the work of Satan, so that you and I could be born again. Just right at the beginning, when God breathed his spirit into man, you and I could get born again by the Holy Spirit. So once again, we can start experiencing the image of God within us being restored by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to know what is our destiny, it's very simple. Jesus came, and we read, for instance, in Romans chapter 8, when we speak about all these things are working together for those who love God, because we have been predestined to be conformed into the image of God. See, that's our destiny. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, working in our lives all the time, so that we are transformed and conformed into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, concerning this incredible, glorious new covenant ministry of the Holy Spirit. And as we behold our Lord Jesus Christ, what's taking place? The Holy Spirit is working and we are being conformed into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our destiny. To once again, mankind, to be able to live in the reality of what the image of God is all about. Revealing His image. We read there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, 23, and 24, where Paul is writing and he says, put off the old, put on the new, which has been created to be like Him in true righteousness and holiness. So all the time we see over there that if we're trying to find the purpose of our lives, if we're trying to find what is God's will for our lives, if we're trying to discover all these things, our starting point is that we, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, are being conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that's the starting point. Everything else will now flow from that. So it's important to understand that as we continue of what God wants to share with us. So in Romans chapter 5, this has been the journey as we just end this year, so that we know where we are. And this is just the recap over many, many weeks that we've been speaking about the gift of righteousness and justification. And therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. So this has been a lot of sort of the leading of the Holy Spirit over this year, basically, where He's been sharing with us about this incredible gift of righteousness and what Christ has done, His perfection, which we have received as a gift. That's why what it is to be in Him. Take on His name, we were singing, to be in Him, receiving that. So we've been looking at that, and as a result, we've been justified. As a result, we have peace with God, so a relationship's being restored. But as a result of that, as we've been speaking, we have now the privilege of having access by this faith into this grace. Why? Why does He use the word access? Is it possible for us to not enter into this grace, even though we're born again? Is it possible for us to fall away from this grace? You see, so there's something about this word access. It's an important word, and it helps us to understand what it means to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, so that we abide, we stay, we remain in this grace. As we read there in Galatians chapter 5, where Paul is speaking about how the Galatian church, how they had received the Holy Spirit. They believed, they simply believed, nothing else. They just simply believed the good news of God, and as a result, they are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now the Jewish people are coming and saying, no, Holy Spirit's not enough. You've got to be doing all these Jewish rituals again. And that. And he's saying that if you take on all of that, once again, you are removing yourself from the grace that comes through Jesus Christ, because it's what He has done that secures your salvation. It's what He has done that enables us to be declared righteousness. It's what He has done that enabled us to be able to be declared not guilty. It's what He has done that's enabled us to enter into this grace, not those religious rituals. And so He's saying there that then if you take on, you're removing yourself from this grace. And that's why this is an important message for us as we're entering into a higher level of the glory of God. More grace upon grace. And it's something that needs to be established in our hearts today that the Holy Spirit wants to just help us with. But we notice over here that all of this, we now have access into this grace in which we now stand. And then he says that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Very powerful truth over there about rejoicing in the hope. What is faith? Faith is that confidence in what we hope for. So all of this, that's why this faith is so real within us. It's a living faith. It's a living hope. And we can rejoice in looking into our futures because we know our future is in Him. And he goes, not only in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings, and so all things work out for the good for those who love Him, is a reality in our lives. And he's sharing over there, and this hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. So, going through all this trials, going through life, being in this realm of access into this grace does not exempt us from the persecutions, from the trials, from all of the stuff that happens on a daily basis. But we rejoice in that because we know what's taking place. And the reason we can rejoice is because God, by His Spirit, has put His love into us. Now, we understand when Paul writes, because we have the Holy Spirit who testifies with our spirit, Abba Father, Romans chapter 8. Now we can say confidently that all these things work out for those who love God. All these things. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, because He has given us His Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And this is the area now that I believe is so important for you and I to be able to take hold of a truth, and to start to, but Holy Spirit, because You are in us as the body of Christ, we know the reality of what it is to be loved by God. Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. No trial, no tribulation, nothing, despite the difficulties of this life, nothing. And this is going to be a very important foundational truth for us to be established in, to be able to look and have that hope, to be able to walk in faith, to be able to be a witness in this world, because we know the reality, because of Holy Spirit, we know the reality of what it is to be loved by God. Okay, and that's why Paul prays all the time that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may comprehend, we may grasp the depth of this love of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it'll be, we may be rooted and established in this love. Okay, because in this love you'll find you have hope, in this love you find there's faith, in this love you have vision, everything, because you know the reality of love. Some time back, and I've often shared this when God gave me a glimpse of this love of His, one of the things that was so real was that this love of God, it was if was the only person in this world. His full attention was on my life. He was so focused, he was so interested, he was so involved in my life. And that goodness of His was just so overwhelming. See, that's the reality of being loved by the Father, knowing just how incredibly involved He is in our lives. And experiencing that. I don't know if that's mine or... Yeah. So now, as we go on in... Let me go to John chapter 14. And here Jesus is now comforting His disciples because He's about to go to His Father. And we know there that Thomas asked, but how do we know where You're going? And then Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Now remember, Jesus can't lie. He is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 10, Satan comes to kill, rob, and destroy, but I've come to give abundant life. You see, and this is important because when we begin to understand that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to enable mankind once again to be conformed into the likeness into the image of God. We've got to understand when we look at the spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's involved in transforming mankind into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So we've got to understand when we speak about spiritual gifts, all the spiritual gifts have the purpose to be able to see people set free from the image being so messed up and to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Very, very powerful are the spiritual gifts. To be able to see mankind set free from being captured by sin, for us to be able to grow up into the fullness of Jesus Christ. Some time back, busy praying, and I saw over our community this incredible network of darkness, Satan's network, how he captures and all the systems and all that there that keep people in captivity. But I saw the body of Christ, anointed children of light, operating in their incredible spiritual gifts, walking and just penetrating and piercing the darkness, setting the captives free. So that's very important for us to know as the Holy Spirit, as we are learning now that this realm of grace and the Holy Spirit cannot be separated. And as we're learning now to be able to realize, but Holy Spirit, you're in us. To be able to realize now that we need to be able to walk with the Holy Spirit. We need to be able to keep in step with the Holy Spirit in a level that we've never experienced before. If you can remember, in November, I made a decree over here about the increase of God's kingdom and the increase of God's glory. And when I made that decree of the increase of God's glory, there was a pause in the spiritual realm so that I could consider the cost of walking in more of the glory of God. You see, this is going to cost us. This is the last end of the year message. This is going to cost us. I had a pause. There was a pause in the spirit. And what enabled me to make a decision was to see the love of God for mankind. And it's the love of Christ that compels us in the ministry that God has called the body of Christ. It's going to cost. I didn't realize what the cost is, but I've noticed over this few months that it costs everything. This morning, busy praying, and instantly as I started to pray, I'm standing, I'm watching myself, I'm standing in this huge archway and looking at myself in this archway. I'm small and this archway is massive, but beyond this archway is this incredible, incredible bright light. It's so alive, so bright. And I'm standing there and I step into this light, go through this archway, I step into this light. And this light consumes me totally. Total consuming me. Every aspect of me, this light just consumes me. It's going to cost a lot for us to walk so that the Holy Spirit is like, we are totally consumed by the Holy Spirit to be able to walk into this level of glory that God's calling us to walk in. It costs us a lot on what we watch, what we listen to. It costs us a lot on what we do with our time. It costs us a lot in saying no to these things and spending the time, Lord, share with me revelation. See, my prayer is, Jesus, I want to stand here on a Sunday morning, wherever I am, Lord, with you, that together we can share what's on the Father's heart. That you can release your life in all of us. That's a cost. It's a lot of praying in the Spirit. It's a lot of time spending time with God. It's a lot of time praying for the body of Christ. It's a lot of time walking with Jesus. God has spoken His glory for 1947. And we now stepping into the reality of what he shared many years ago. But for us as the body of Christ, you see, I had to step into this light. This light was not just poured into 1947. And we as a body of Christ, we're going to need to be able to, we've got access into this grace. We need to make a decision. Yes, Lord, I'm stepping into this incredible glory. And I'm asking, consume me. I want to be totally consumed by you, Lord God, in every aspect of my life. Because we have been enriched in the totality of our lives, in all our speaking, in all our understanding, our knowledge, because of this grace that we have entered into through Jesus Christ. So, God has done a lot in helping us this year, getting established in the foundational truth of the gift of righteousness, of what it is to be declared not guilty, what it is now to be able to live in an incredible relationship with God, because in Christ Jesus we are now the righteousness of God. What it is to receive His perfection as a gift so that we can have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And so Jesus is now speaking to His disciples here, and He says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Again, please spend time, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit, our callings, our different mandates, all of these things, all the time, Jesus came to give life, life in abundance. You've got to understand the foundation, all the ministry, everything that we do. Church, whatever we call church, church needs to reveal, church needs to see that the image of Christ has been formed in the people of God. That's the ministry, so that we all grow up into His fullness. That's the whole fivefold reality and the different gifts. So we go on. If you really know me, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. See, Jesus is revealing the image of His Father. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and it will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Powerful. We will look at that now. Before me, believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I'll tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Oh, he will be doing even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. In the more accurate translation over here, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we look at what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, listen guys, it's the Father in me, and I'm in my Father. There's this oneness, and what's taking place, that the work that I'm doing is revealing my Father. My Father is being glorified in me. But I'm going to my Father. So I'm saying to you, family of God, whatever you ask in my name, guess what? I'm going to continue. The Father will do it, so that in my name, in me, the Father will continually be glorified here on earth. See, this is the reality of what it is to pray in the name of Jesus. It's once again realizing that it's once again the oneness, the Father and the Son, but we are now included in this incredible oneness. That is the Father now doing in the name of Jesus. We have the privilege to pray in the name of Jesus, so that the Father may be glorified in His Son, Jesus Christ. See, it's going to cost us to be totally consumed by the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. as we step into a higher level of His glory. And praise God, because that's why, as I've said again, all of us, we're not the same people as we were last year. All of us are folk there that have taken on this journey with God. We're committed to see the purpose of God. We're committed to see our Lord Jesus glorified in our lives and through our lives. I don't know if you noticed that after COVID, you will find there that not many people came back, but those that are committed came back. You see, and that's a general thing in the body of Christ here in South Africa. Because we are sold out for what God has purposed for us to be able to do. And that is so that we ask in the name of Jesus, all of a sudden we start to realize, but now, it means that I need to spend time with you, Jesus, to understand. If I'm going to speak to our Father in your name, what am I going to ask Him for? So, when we pray, when we can come in the name of Jesus, and we say, Father, draw people to your Son, Jesus Christ. Draw them into fellowship. Call them by name into your incredible, into your family. Because Jesus said that when I leave, I'm going to ask you, Father, for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will come and convict. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, we know that the Father is going to be answering that prayer. And the Holy Spirit will be working and convicting and drawing people into relationship with Jesus Christ. Where Satan has blinded, so they cannot see the image of God in Christ Jesus. Back to the image. Satan hates the image of God in mankind. The anointing is to break that deception by the Holy Spirit. That's the whole ministry of the new covenant in 2 Corinthians 3. Because by the Spirit we write on the hearts of mankind. Piercing where Satan has blinded the minds. Jesus came to set us free so that we can be conformed into His likeness again. It's powerful. And so Jesus continues and He says over here in John 14, He goes and He says, and you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I've commanded. And I will ask the Father. See, this love it's not this religious love. This is a love for God because His Spirit is in us. He's poured His love in us so we're able to love Father. We're made in His image so we have a relationship, a love relationship. We can know His love and He can know our love for Him. We're made in His image. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father and He will give you another one just like me to be with you. Forever. Powerful. Then it carries on. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. This is the new covenant that we have entered into. This grace that we have entered into. Now receive the Holy Spirit that God has placed and given to us as a gift. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So we're no longer orphans. We're now children of God. We belong to Him. And this is the starting point of understanding our true identity when we realize, oh God, there's something that's taking place in Jesus restoring and bringing back the image. The starting point of understanding what it is to have the image of God is to realize that we belong to Him and we are in His family. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me because I live, you will also live. Incredible truth that. One of the things that a lot of people fear is death. But when you die, all you're doing is unclothing your human clothes and putting on your glorious spiritual clothes. There's no end. See, because we have the Holy Spirit in us. Okay. On that day you will realize that I'm in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. Back to the beginning of John 14, where Jesus is saying, guess what guys? You're seeing the Father at work. I'm in the Father, the Father's in me doing the work. Now if you ask anything in my name, I'm going to be doing that. so that the Father will be glorified in me. But now when I go, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, guess what? You're going to realize that I'm in you, you in me, and the Father is in you. Back to that same relationship that Jesus has in. Now we are included in that. So that we can bring glory to our Father in the name of Jesus. And he carries on that day you will realize that I'm in my Father and you're in me. This is revelation by the Holy Spirit. And I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. That's more revelation that you'll keep on receiving as you walk in love to Jesus. And it carries on in one last scripture over here. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And then he carries on about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As we apply this, because we have received the Holy Spirit as a gift, the Father and the Son has come to make their home within us as the body of Christ. The self-life that we used to be was all about self and all about me, I, etc. It's all about my feelings. It's all about all just me, me, me. That self-life was crucified with Jesus Christ when we got born again. We received that truth that we died with Christ. We've been raised with him. And because we've been raised with him, and the Spirit of God has come to dwell within us, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at home within us. And now, this grace of God that he has taken us into, and this more grace, this glory that is now before us, and we're at this archway, is like, are you prepared to step in to this glory of God? And I want to share with you, as people were praying, I want to share with you a message that I got this morning, or last night, as well. And I think it's a very profound, as I was praying today, I got an overwhelming sense of an increased presence or activity of the Holy Spirit for us all. He is with us and in us in a different kind of way than before. At least for me, I know it will be the same for many others too. Tonight as I was praying, I saw an image of a foot or a boot stepping over a boundary line, or maybe I can call it a threshold. I know we are in a time of ending one calendar year and starting another, but this, what I saw, was much more than that. I saw the foot stepping over. It was a right foot, by the way, as a slow motion image. At a stage, it was as if the foot was in mid-air, halting, waiting. And that waiting is for us to be able to make that decision. With the foot in midair, I heard a question in my heart. Are you in or not? And then I knew that if the footstep over there, there won't be any chance to go back again or even to stop. There was a finality in that crossing over, in that step. As I was also looking and contemplating the situation, I knew that the foot represented the Holy Spirit in us and with us, stepping over. I know we often also speak about stay in step with the Holy Spirit, but this has another depth to it. Yes, we've learned a lot, and we are still growing more in the reality of staying in step with the Holy Spirit in our daily walk. But this is different. I don't have the words yet to describe it, but it is like, are we in and in agreement to stay in step with the Holy Spirit? If He is now stepping onto higher ground or into a more fierce battleground where the spoils of war that will bring home will be more than individuals but families, extended families, communities, towns, nations, will we intentionally lay hands of the fullness of the inheritance of Jesus that truly belongs to Him, truly becoming co-heirs with Him? And this was from Audrey praying last night for today. So we can see here the importance of where we are right now and understanding to listen to the Holy Spirit and to walk with Him now. Are you ready? I thank God for the pause. We can think, and the decisions we make will be decision that's real. It's not just an emotional decision. I praise God that He allows us to be able to hear the invitation to say, yes, Lord, step into this glorious realm of Your glory that You're taking us now. But we also know it's going to be all-consuming, every area of our lives. For us to live is Christ. In Him we move and have our being. Those truths will now become our reality as we say yes to the Lord. So let's prepare our hearts as we have communion this morning. This morning, people often, if they had to see me, they would think I'm crazy. But I often hug myself, because I'm hugging Holy Spirit within me. See, I'm sitting this morning and I'm overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit's ministry, how He's kept us, how He's helped us, how He's gone, as we've gone through difficult situations, how He's been so faithful in giving us the strength, giving us the ability, helping us to remain faithful in Jesus Christ, to continue to walk in faith. And there's just such a incredible heart of thanksgiving and just embracing and just hugging Holy Spirit. But because the Holy Spirit is in us, the Father and Son have come and made home. So I'm hugging the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So precious just to love them and to just value their ministry. So I know as we go into 2024, no different. Hug the Holy Spirit. In your storm, hug the Holy Spirit. In your victories, hug the Holy Spirit. He's here to be our helper, to our counselor, to help us. Amen. So Father, thank You as we come and eat together with Your Son, with You Holy Spirit, with You Father. We come to celebrate this incredible sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus, You said, and the Father said, Your name must be Jesus because You are to save us from our sins. And sin messed up the image of God within us, but You have saved us from our sin. And that's a joy that we as Your children once again, just like You said to the disciples, if you see Me, you can see the Father. And we want to thank You that as the body of Christ, as the world sees the body of Christ more and more and more, they are able to see who You really are living in us as Your children, as Your family, as Your body. So today, Lord Jesus, thank You for the power of Your blood that has freed us, Your sacrifice that has taken upon Your body all our sin, and how You went as a man into the heavenly realms to be able to say, on behalf of mankind, I've paid the price so that they can come and become family once again. So we thank you, Jesus, that you have made it possible for us to become family of God, to have our Father. We thank you for Holy Spirit that testifies, Abba Father, to us, testifying that we are truly children of God, rooted and established in the love of the Father that he has for us, in the love that is made known through Jesus Christ and by you, Holy Spirit. So we want to thank you as we eat together this morning, and we give you the praise, Lord Jesus. We think back and we give thanks for your powerful involvement when you took me into your love and you showed me your intense focus in our lives, your total involvement, everything about our lives you're so interested in, and you are there all the time with your grace and helping us as we come humbly and say we need your grace, and we experience your interaction like face to face. It's so, so close, so real. And we want to thank you for the privilege that we have as being family. And this we receive and thank you again because of your Son Jesus. Amen. Amen.